Wednesday began the season of Lent in the Christian calendar. Wednesday was Ash Wednesday, and Lent starts on Ash Wednesday and ends on the Saturday, actually, before Easter. And just some factoids about how Lent is determined here. Lent is 40 days, and we got a calendar up here. I worked really hard to make this. Not really. But Ash Wednesday starts, this year started on Valentine's Day, the 14th, and it ends there on March 31st, which is called Holy Saturday. That's the Saturday right before Easter. And then there are 40 days in between February 14th and March 31st, except for, you don't count Sundays. So all those light purple ones in there are the 40 days of Lent. And those Sundays there that are kind of an orangey color there are called mini Easters, with the big Easter being on April 1st. And that's how, that is how Lent is determined. Kind of new information for me. Was that new for anybody? I didn't know kind of how Lent was calculated. It was, we hear about Lent a lot, but, you know, it's something that, I don't know how that works. The one I'll never figure out is how they determine when Easter is, because it's like, you know, there's a full moon after something and you do the hokey pokey and then there's Easter. You know, I don't quite know how they do that, but we just look it up and figure out where it is at. We attended, several of us from Pleasant Chapel went to seminary to celebrate Ash Wednesday there, and it was a neat service, and that's where you have the ashes put on your forehead, and the ashes are from last year's palm branches that they are burnt and mixed with oil, and that is the mark of the start of the season of Lent. Palm Sunday and Maundy Thursday and Good Friday, those are all other special days that we celebrate during this season. And by the way, all those are services that are going to be, as I mentioned during announcements, services at one of our churches are going to have something for that evening. But be sure you come for the Maundy Thursday one, because it's fun and it's good food. So make sure you get here. So probably you've seen some people maybe either Wednesday morning, depending on when they went to a service, and you saw a black mark or an X or a cross on their forehead, or, you know, you perhaps have heard that people were giving up something for Lent. I went back last to our notes from last year, and I found this slide up here that we talked briefly about Lent a little bit, and we, you know, what are you giving up for Lent? You know, and some of the things that we talked about, you know, that people had, these were things that people had given up last year, you know, and we laughed about this a little bit. A lot of people give up coffee or social media or something, but, you know, we laughed up there because some people gave up Donald Trump for Lent. Some people, I think, if it's on the list, I'm giving up Lent for Lent, you know. That was kind of an odd one, but we talked briefly about what that means. And I think, too, we talked a little bit about how churches practice Lent. And, you know, when I was raised, Lent was just not a whole big thing. We didn't have an Ash Wednesday service, and a lot of the stuff was not practiced. And it was a United Methodist Church, similar to what we have here, but it just was not practiced. I know colors on the things changed during Lent, but that was about it. There wasn't a whole lot to it. And I think there is some reason for that, because I think that some of the practices historically through the years, they really got distorted, and they really, what they originally intended to do for this season of Lent, they lost their meaning, and things just got kind of messed up. And, you know, I kind of even remember in my church that, you know, that's a little too Catholic-y. You don't want to do that because it's kind of Catholic-y. And what did that mean? I really didn't understand that. And, you know, for sure, you know, I know you've probably been around this, but, you know, there are those, not to judge, but, you know, on that Wednesday, everybody kind of wanted to make sure that, you know, seam across. You know, they kind of wanted to make this sign thing. They kind of, you know, or they make a big deal out of, you know, I'm going to really make this sacrificial thing during this season of Lent. And I guess, you know, it kind of gets messed up because, you know, it's just these things that people are doing, or they're doing them with a lack of understanding of what is the purpose of the season anyways? And why would we do this? Why would I give up something? Why would I put ashes on my forehead? And why would I go on a Maundy Thursday and eat lamb and take communion? And what's this all about? And I think what happened, you know, it became too ritualistic. And, you know, we people that weren't part of the Catholic Church saw this as kind of being just some mere ritual that they're going through, and it was far from grace and far from the cross and far from what was most important. Or it would swing the other way and those activities became too important. You know, you look at me, look at my this. And, you know, I gave up coffee. You know, look at me, I gave up coffee. And you make a big deal out of your headache that you've got for 40 days because you've given up caffeine, you know. And so that became the center of what this was about. You know, well, why? Why do you do that? You know, I don't know. So I could have a headache, I suppose. I don't know. But emphasis too often was incorrectly placed on the work. You know, it became a works-based religion. You know, look what I can do, and I can do this, or I can give up this, I have the strength to do this. And it's about our works. And we know that that's not us. We are people of grace and faith in that grace. And so I think it got kind of distorted. And there are those who believe that we just don't want to have any of that kind of stuff. We don't need special days. We don't need, you know, any of the kind of practices to do any of this stuff because we have the Holy Spirit, we have Scripture, and that's really all that we really need to have. We don't need anything else. Well, I think that's kind of too far the other way because I know us and I know me. You know, I'm lazy and I forget stuff. I'm undisciplined. You know, and so some of this, if we have practices that are put in that would help me in that undisciplined life or would help me re-remember the true value of what this Easter season is about or help me more deeply appreciate the cross and the wonderful gift of the cross and the power of that empty tomb and the resurrection. If there are things I could do during this season, I think that's a great thing. I think it's a wonderful thing to do. Easter is the climax of Lent. It's the big dance. You know, it's the Stanley Cup. I'll make sure I cover our hockey boys. And it's the Super Bowl for us people of faith. It's, if you really want to compare the coolest sport, it's the Masters. You know, if you're golfers. Sorry, I can do that because I get to stand here. It's our big one as followers of Christ. Easter is the big one. And this Lenten season that we started Wednesday climaxes on our big dance day, on our big day. That's what this is all about for we people who follow Christ. Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of your sins. You know, we say these kinds of statements an awful lot, but who really here completely understands the power in that statement for you personally and fully appreciates that statement that he died on the cross? He himself bore our sins in his body on that cross so that free from sins we might live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Such powerful scripture from 1 Peter 2 there that what Easter is all about. And I'll be the first to admit, do I get that? Do I fully understand what happened at the cross? Do I fully understand what resurrection does? Do I fully understand that I have been... No, I don't. I don't appreciate that. And so this time that we can go back and re-reflect to perhaps understand that and embrace it more deeply, you know, I'm all for that. Could it be that we could benefit by doing some behavior changes, some practices during this season that would help us understand that cross more, to respond more appropriately to what really happened on the cross? And we're people that we like the cycle. You know, we go through seasons. It's kind of, you know, we're in this season of bleh right now. I don't like this season of, you know, ice and slush and gunk. But, you know, then we got spring, and spring's so cool, and fall's so cool. You know, it's just part of who we are, these cycles. And, you know, the church has a calendar, the liturgical calendar, where we go through and we change our colors here for different meanings. And we celebrate the season of getting ready and anticipating Christmas through the season of Advent. And that's a different color in how we behave and act and practice what we do in worship. Similarly, in Lent, it's this rhythm to our lives. It's this rhythm to our faith that we can participate in. And in some churches, during this time, there's a darkening of what happens in the church. And I did a little of that. Did anybody notice up here what happened on our altar and on our cross? And you go to some churches and a lot of this is darkened. It should have probably been dark purple, but we didn't have any dark purple curtains. We had a couple black ones laying around, so we threw them in the dryer. Carla threw them in the dryer a little bit, and probably should have thrown that other one in a little longer. It's kind of wrinkled. But any statues or any kind of images in the church that are representations of what our faith is so deeply rooted in, they'll cover. Because it's anticipation of what is underneath them. And it's a reminder, well, we're not to that cross yet. And it gets covered. And that's why you see this a lot of time in churches, that during this season, these things get covered. And it's for us to start thinking a little bit about a need for a cross and what those things actually stand for. And I would imagine I probably offended a couple people here today because, you know, some people, that's got to be seen at all times. And, I know I've been to a church one time where they moved something and this person couldn't see the cross anymore. And she ended up leaving the church because she couldn't see the cross anymore because it was so important to her that she had visibility to this table, to this altar, to the cross. It was so important for her. I wanted to tell her, well, move your seat, go sit somewhere else. But, we can't do that. That would be too much. So that's what this is about. That's what this darkening of these objects are about through Lent. So what is Lent? What is it for us as Methodists? And I went to the United Methodist website to get their verbiage on this because that was put really well here. And I've got it up on the screen. Lent, is a time of repentance, fasting, and preparation for the coming of Easter. It's a time of self-examination and reflection. In the early church, Lent was a time to prepare new converts for baptism. Today, Christians focus on their relationship with God, often choosing to give up something or to volunteer and give of themselves for others. It's important to this time, they go on to say, to help to find our own method of confronting our sinfulness, remembering our mortality, and giving thanks for the gift of salvation we receive through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what this time of Lent is about. And I like that last part because it's, you sit down and you think about this, what is it that I could do during this time that would help me be more self-reflective, that would help me understand that the power of the cross and my need for the cross and how valuable that is to me. Just like we get excited during Christmas time about, God who became flesh and a baby in a cradle, we think about how awesome that is, that flesh was God, that God came to us as a child. During that season, we think about that. During this time, how is it that I can think through this time that I may appreciate a little more deeply what the cross is about? I think this ties in so well with what we're talking about here, our series on the I am statements. Jesus revealing to us, hey, this is who I am. I'm light and I'm bread and I'm a gate and I'm a shepherd. And last week we talked about I'm a vine. And it works so well into that passage. We want to go back to that here a little bit. Last week we read this from John chapter 15. It says, I am the true vine and my Father's the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And so we have this picture of a vineyard and grapes and beautiful purple grapes that are hanging down here. And this is what we talked about last week a little bit. Jesus is this vine, and the Father's the gardener. And we are the branches that are to stay connected to that vine in order that we may bear fruit. And we spoke on that last week. How is it that we can bear fruit? We're supposed to be branchy. We are to remain in him in order that he could produce more fruit through us. So my question is, could we use this time of Lent so that we can become just a little more branchy, to learn a little bit more about how it is that we should abide, to remain in. The translation is there, to remain in me, or another translation of that is to abide. And so we have this picture here of a vine and a branch. Jesus Christ is that vine on the left, and we are the branch that's on the right side there, clinging to the vine. I am the vine, and you are the branches. If a man remains in me, and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's that picture of how we need to stay connected and remain in him. Several other passages, I almost spent a lot of time on this, but I want to throw them up here because I want to get this idea of what it means to abide. From 2 Thessalonians, we have, but we must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, beloved by the Lord, because God chose you as the first fruits for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and through belief in the truth. God chose you. From John, right where we read, abide in me as I abide in you. Later on, John writes in 1 John 3, all who obey his commandments abide in him and he abides in them. And by this we know that he abides in them by the Spirit he has given us. Paul in Colossians write, my counsel for you is simple and straightforward. Just go ahead with what you've been given. You received Christ Jesus, the Master. Now live him. And I think those are a few of several scriptures that talk about this connection that we have to the vine, how we branches are to stay connected. So if we zoom in a little bit more on this picture, we don't want to distort this. We don't want to mess this up because it's very easy to do. We need to remember that we need to stay connected to the vine, and that vine is grace. It's Jesus Christ, and it's grace he has offered. He is the initiator that started this relationship. He starts it. We choose to cling based on what he has done. The relationship is mutual, though, because in those passages, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. There is some mutuality here. There is a give and take on both sides here. There's a choosing on our part. It's just not automatic to abide, I think, because otherwise Jesus wouldn't have said, abide in me. He tells us to. He commands us to. There's something we need to do in our response to abide. But here's where it differs a little bit, because in a lot of our relationships, there is a mutual dependency. I'll pick on my wife here. We are a relationship here, and there is a mutual dependency. I depend on Carla, and Carla depends on me. And that is like most human relationships. There's a mutual dependency in all of our relationships, but that's not the case here. God is the initiator. He is grace. We are dependent upon him. He is not dependent upon us. This vine and this branch. The vine does not need the branch, but the branch needs the vine. So notice I got that little line that goes down through there, because some branches simply are not connected. We didn't read all of this, or we didn't focus on this here, but the branches that are not connected to the vine, remember what happens to them. They're thrown out and they are burned up. They are not connected. Those are the people that are not in Christ. Those are the branches. The branches that are attached are ones that are us. We are the ones that have received Christ, and he will prune us as need be. But we are to stay. We're to remain. We're to continue in, or we are to abide in him. That implies a responsibility on our part. There's an action, there's choices, there's decisions on our part to stay or to remain or continue. But we must always operate with the mindset of this truth that he has chosen us. It starts with him. We didn't choose him. He chose us. We're children of God because he chose us. That's what grace is. Grace is giving you this good thing that you don't deserve. That's the definition of grace. This wonderful thing that we have communion with our Father. We have forgiveness of our sins. We have a righteousness that is brought through the cross. That is grace. It's given to you. Not one of us in here deserve it. good things that are given to us. That's the definition of grace, and that's why the vine there is called grace. He gave us what we surely did not deserve. That is what grace is. And that is why we are so dependent, and we must root all of the things we do in that. We love because He first loved us, and we're constantly depending upon that. And there's another thing that I have to constantly remind myself of. Do I appreciate that? Do I appreciate that He loved me when I didn't have a clue who He was? He loved me when I was still yet a sinner. And He loves me now still in this mess of a life that I often get myself in. He loves me. That is grace. I read this here and I thought it was pretty good about this idea of abiding. To bear genuine fruit, and that's the goal here, that we want to bear His fruit for others to receive Him. Not fruit for us, fruit for others. You must take your place on the vine and get as close to Jesus as you can. Strip away all of the things of the world. Put aside the sins that distract you and sap your energy. Put aside everything that robs you of a deep, personal, loving relationship with Jesus. Stay apart from sin and be in God's Word. The first practical step is to realize that we can never neglect what is theological. In other words, we must constantly call to mind the truth of who we are in Christ, that we are chosen in Him, holy and dearly loved children of God. That's the gospel. And we must preach the gospel to ourselves every day. To abide in Christ is to recognize this gospel truth as reality and to live in the light of it. See that you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you shall remain in the Son and in the Father. So this author says a few things. He says, strip away all things of the world. Put aside the sins that distract you. Be in God's Word and get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. Well, how do we do that? How is it that we should do that? And this is where I think it can tie so well into this season of Lent because, you know, we get out of practice sometimes. We don't have the right habits all the time. It'd be wonderful if we were people who could honestly say, you know, I fully abide in the vine. Every day I am on my knees in prayer and I confess my sins and I'm in the Scripture and I'm doing this. We don't. That's what this cycle is about. It's to help us get refocused and to understand our need for a Savior and to get ourselves in a position to where He can work. So how is it we can do these things? Can we put into practice some things in our lives that will better position ourselves to be the best branches we could be? To abide in the best way that is possible. So this is not a forced thing on you, but I'm going to invite you to participate with me this Lent season to be a little intentional about these 40 days. About focused on what Easter is really all about. And what are some things that we can possibly do here? And as a theme verse here from 1 Peter, says, He Himself bore your sins in the body on the cross so that free from sins you might live for righteousness. By His wounds you've been healed. And somewhere close to you, because you are all creatures of habit, I could just about pick where you were sitting and there's a little card that's got, should have your name on it. If you're a regular attender here, if you've been coming here the last few weeks, you should find one of these that's close. Yours, I think, are over that way because Deanna usually sits over there, but you'll find them. You don't have to get them right now, but you can find them. There are some in the back table that are a little more generic for people that are our guests today. Make sure you pick one up. It doesn't have your name printed on it, but it may be a little corny, perhaps. But I don't think it is. Because I rewrote that passage, and mine says this. Because it's one thing to talk about these great theological truths that we embrace as followers of Christ when we use pronouns like, you know, them and you and us. But it's important for it to become personal, this cross. And so that's the purpose of these cards. Mine reads, Jesus bore the sins of Joel in His body on the cross, so that free from sins, Joel might live for righteousness. By His wounds, Joel has been healed. And that's hopefully when you find your card, that's what's on there. And I'd like for you to keep this close through these 40 days. And this is our family focus here, that we read this over and over again, and we remember that that's what this cross was for people, for sure. But it's easy to kind of forget that it's for me and it's for you. And that is the purpose of what this is for. So keep this close. That'll be our theme here for these next several days. That's the verse we want to remember that. And we want to embrace it more fully. And hopefully you'll have some time quietly that you can just fall flat on your face and get it a little bit more. Get it a little bit more about what the cross has done. And our helper there said, you know, some things that we could do. We stay in his word and stay in prayer and this idea of discipline. And so I've got some options for you here. If you didn't pick up one of these yellow ones, hold your hand up. We can get one to you here. There's some things here that I thought through this season that, you know, in as much as, Lent can be messed up, as I talked about, that things can abuse it and they can say, look at me. Let's do it right. Let's do it right. Let's participate in some things that would help us get in line with truth, to help us position ourselves for the Spirit to move, and that we may reveal the beauty of the cross and the power of the resurrection. So a couple things you can do. Don't have to do all this. Here's some ideas. If you would like to spend this time of Lent, that you're daily reading Scripture, here is a list of Scripture day by day that you can read. And that'd be kind of cool that all of Pleasant Chapel is kind of in the Bible at the same place. I stole this list. That's what we pastors do. You go steal. But the source is on the top, which makes it right. And I gave you that because if you're interested and you're tech savvy, you can have this list emailed to you every day. It's just a click sign up thing, give them your email thing. And if you're that kind of person and want to pull up your phone, you know, your passage will just be right there and you can read it. It'd be right there with you. So that information is on the top. So if you want to do Scripture, there's a list of potential Scripture you can do. If you'd like to become better at prayer and become a person whose routine is prayer, I give you ideas daily for things we can pray for. And I don't mean just read this and you're done. I mean, take time, let first, and pray thankfully for your life and for your health. Get away someplace quiet and think about your life and what it is that you have and the health that you've been given. And just thank him and praise him for that. Each day is an idea there that you can be prayerful. And I think that's neat. Again, as a body, if we choose to do this, many of us will be praying for the same thing. And I think that's a cool thing for us to do. On the back side, if you're interested in doing some things that, you know, we hear people doing, and I split it up this way. Well, maybe you want to fast from something. Maybe you want to take something away. Now, again, it's not about what you do to take something away. I'm going to choose coffee, for example. Nothing inherently wrong with coffee, but it's this thing that I do every day. By the way, one day I did do coffee for Lent. Gee, terrible. Don't do that one. Gosh, it lasted for hours. Every day had a headache. But if you would like to do that, the purpose is not in giving that up. The purpose is, to me, that when you have that urge, that thing to go get a cup of coffee, that's the time when I stop and I'm going to go back to that card and say, oh yeah, that's my reminder to get back to that passage that he bore my sins on that cross. And by his wounds, I've been healed. So I'm going to use that as this habitual thing that I'm so used to doing. If it's coffee, if it's whatever, that's the time I'm going to stop. Self-discipline is what that is. To stop and say, oh, okay, I gave that up because I wanted to remember this that I so easily forget. Get it? I think that's how this is supposed to work. It's not about the giving up the coffee. It's about remembering the cross. So, you know, favorite food, a beverage. Maybe you've got a bad habit. You could double do here. Maybe there's something you would like to get rid of. You can use this time, and every time you have that urge for that bad habit, again, you're going to get back focused here. That's not business. It should be busyness, is the one there on the left. Or you don't have to fast. Maybe you want to feast. Maybe you want to put something on. Maybe you want to do something differently, like prayer or Bible study or acts of kindness. Or I'm going to use this time, you know, to go on a 2-mile walk, or I'm going to go lift weights, I'm going to ride the bike, or I'm going to do something physical. Of course, there's goodness in that. But again, if you're doing that and it's not your habit, why am I doing that? I'm doing that to be prayerful about the cross and to prepare for Easter. to understand more deeply the importance of what this most holy season is about. I think that's what Lent is supposed to do, and I think there's goodness in that. It's a great thing if we have the right attitude about that. So that's my invitation for you. I invite us as a people to do this. I think there's some great things that we can see, and I think God will bless that, and He'll use this time for us to understand more fully about what it is that we are truly about. Truly about. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for this cross, and we enter into this time where we will once again come upon Easter, and we'll have a joyous celebration. There will be no doubt parties and food and get-togethers and reunions. But it's not here yet, and we want to use this time to anticipate the real meaning of the cross and this wonderful victory that you displayed for us on Easter at that resurrection for us individually, for us, those people that are grasping on to you, the vine. And we just ask, Lord, that you would grant each of us here just the passion and desire that we'd give you these 40 days, that we would just be more inclined to create good habits, good lasting habits that would allow us to deeply and more fully appreciate your love for us. Amen. Would you stand, and we'll sing on page 374, Standing on the Promises.